It's Tuesday night, Jaguars fans. The Jack Del Rio show is on the air.
Boy, I don't know. I think he got a punt in here.
He's not going to. They don't call him Gambling Jack for nothing. Maurice is over the right side. He's got it.
Wow. Talk about a sigh of relief. I mean, holy cow, you're on the 36-and-a-half.
Yes.
Going for it on fourth down. Wow.
That nickname, Gambling Jack.
That's deserved.
The Jack Del Rio Show on the Jacksonville Jaguars Radio Network is brought to you by Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue, Wells Fargo, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. Now, to get things started, here's the voice of the Jaguars.
The voice.
Brian Sexton.
Good evening and welcome into the Jack Del Rio Show, the Tuesday night before Thanksgiving. Great week for football. Always enjoy it and hope you'll join us this evening. Phone number, as it has been for years, 800-355-NFL1 or simply 355-NFL1 if you're listening to our flagship station, News Talk WOKV. Hey, folks, quick thought that you can win a VIP game day experience to this Sunday's game, November the 27th, when the Jaguars take on the Texans. You'll get four game day tickets, four VIP Sky Patio Lounge passes, and a limo for four people to and from the game. So stop by your nearby Gate gas station and register, Jaguars fans. Put Gate in your tailgate. Jaguars and Texans, it is a 1 o'clock kickoff. First time that we have been home for a while since October the 23rd, Monday Night Football. Boy, it seems like forever ago, huh, Coach?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, here we go. Nice to see you. Thanksgiving week. It's always a good week. Family, football, food.
Nice to see you, too.
What's happening?
Not much. You see my note up there?
Tell us something you're thankful for. Then ask the question of the audience.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. If you're calling in tonight.
Yeah, right. Yeah, give us a – that's a very good one.
Tell us something you're thankful for.
Okay, absolutely.
We all have a lot to be thankful for.
You aren't even kidding.
First of all, we live in this great country. Let's start absolutely there.
We're talking football.
Yeah.
Not anything crazy. We are dealing with the fun stuff.
Yeah.
Family good?
We'll deal with any stuff. We'll deal with what we need to deal with tonight on the show.
Yeah,
but
we can try. But
give us a call. Tell us something you're thankful for, and let's get into a football question.
You want to start?
Sure.
Okay. What are you thankful for?
I am thankful for a healthy, happy family.
I will tell you that I have the exact same thing. I have three beautiful boys. They're happy. They're healthy. My mom and dad just drove down all the way from Kansas to spend Thanksgiving, so I'm thankful for family.
No
and
question.
And I think that most people, hopefully, will have the exact same thought. But if you've got something else.
That's a good place to start.
Well, and then let's offer this one, because I know both of us are thankful for it. You just alluded to it. It is Military Appreciation Day on Sunday, when the Jaguars host the Houston Texans. We will obviously honor the great military in this town, which I think is the best military town in the NFL.
Strong presence here.
And so we are thankful for all of you who are out there protecting freedoms and liberties that some people may take for granted from time to time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Many do, and I certainly do not, and I appreciate you sending out that thank you.
Well, the military, as you mentioned, very big part of this town. You can't go anywhere without feeling it.
Tremendous presence here.
And I once had Admiral Kevin Delaney, who used to be the admiral here in the Southeast region, tell me that there was no better billet than being a Mayport sailor, meaning if you were stationed in Jacksonville, you were going to be treated right,
mm-hmm.
and people enjoyed being here. So that thought out, happy Thanksgiving to all of you. You've got the phone numbers, Jaguars and Texans on Sunday. We get our first look at Matt Leinart as the quarterback. I know he's a guy that you know well, being a Southern Cal guy. He's a left-hander. I know you're going to be asked tomorrow in your news conference, how much do you expect the Texans to change their offense with Matt Leinart? So let me ask it differently. Hopefully it hasn't been asked. Last week I asked a question I didn't expect anyone to ask. How different is their offense with a left-handed quarterback? I mean, does it change some of the things that they do?
Well, the biggest thing is that they're going to flip the formation.
There you go.
On several plays.
Okay. So there is a difference.
Yeah, there is a difference. Yeah, I mean, they'll do some things, you know, for a left-handed quarterback, they'll do some things that are more favorable for him. And formations, there will be a few more formations that would be left-handed as opposed to right-handed. But it's really, they're going to run their system, their offense. And it'll be interesting to see how much they want to stay with the direction that they've run very successfully some of the plays.
Right.
The one thing about them is they're in their running game, is their inside or outside zone is their number one and number two, number one and number 1A, you know, runs. So they will definitely, you know, feel like they can do those either side.
Do you think this Texans running game is as good as your running game was in 2007 when Fred was still in his prime and Maurice was his backup and you were kicking out about what they do now, about 155, 156 yards?
Yeah, they're doing a great job running the ball right now, and they've got two backs that are having great years, which is similar to what we had with Fred and Maurice. Yeah. You know, when you've got two guys going back there and they're both playing at that level, it makes a lot of fun to run the ball.
Well, it kind of dovetails into the conversation. I mean, you lose your starting quarterback during the middle of a playoff run. I mean, that's a major bummer for most teams. But when you have that 1-2 running attack, I remember back in 2007, it didn't matter what came up, your running attack was strong enough to overcome most obstacles in your way that year.
Yeah.
And do you see this Texans team as being strong enough to overcome the fact that I mean, it's not like they've got, with all due respect, Jamie Martin as their backup quarterback, which Jacksonville had at one point when they lost their starting quarterback back in 1998. This is a legit former first-round pick who's sitting there behind Matt Shaw.
Yeah, no, he's a capable player. And I think this offense suits him in what he did best at Southern Cal.
Right.
I mean, you know, some of the hard run action, some of the play paths and bootlegs off it, you know, that is what he did at Southern Cal so well. So, no, I think for him, he feels like, you know, I mean, I'll let him say his own words, but sure. from my vantage point, looks like a perfect fit for him to go, you know, back into a system that he was so successful in before.
Phone number 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Take our first break and return with a full line of callers. You're listening to the Jack Del Rio Show on the Jaguars Radio Network. Welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show. Hey, fans, you can text BBQ to 72239. That's BBQ to 72239 and enter for a chance to win the Sonny's Game Ball Delivery Contest. You can hand the game ball to the ref at the start of the Jaguars' next home game. The coaches ask that when you call, you have something that you're thankful for on the tip of your tongue, and then go ahead and ask your question. Let's start with Tyler, who joins us from the South Side. Tyler, we welcome you to the show.
How are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
I'm excellent, thank you. Finally started my Thanksgiving break.
And you are thankful for?
I'm thankful the NFL figured out the lockout, so we have football this Thanksgiving.
Amen, brother.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
NBA fans are not so lucky right now.
That's what I was thinking. But they can tune in and watch the football game then.
Yeah, and college basketball. But
listen to it.
Yeah, absolutely. Anything else in your mind tonight?
No, not at all. I didn't have any questions or anything. I just wanted to call and say I was thankful for it.
Well, God bless you. Thank you very much.
Appreciate it, Tyler. Thank you.
No problem, Coach.
Happy Thanksgiving. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Eric joins us via his mobile phone. Eric, how are you this evening?
I'm doing good, Brian and Coach. How are y'all?
Good. Hey, Eric.
What you thankful for?
I'm thankful that my family loves Jaguars. We're healthy and we love Jaguars football to the point that anytime somebody's talking bad about Gabbard or moving the team or anything else, I ain't even got to say anything. My wife will tell them to shut up.
We're thankful for that, too.
All right.
What's your thought?
My question tonight is, Coach, about Blaine. I've been standing behind him, watching him, and I'm watching him's decisions come along, and I think he looks good. And I hear everybody, oh, he should be doing better, he should be doing better, but unfortunately the quarterback's getting blamed for drop passes that are hitting receivers' right hands. How is Blaine, you know, with you talking to him, dealing with that, and is he just kind of fluffing it off and looking at it? What's going on in his mind? Because I'm liking what I'm seeing, and I'm still fighting to tell everybody else, you know, shut up and give him a chance.
Well, I think you have the right approach. I like what I see in this young man. You know, he is definitely a guy that is proud, is working at it. I mean, I just finished seeing him just a little while ago, you know, working with Luke. They get 3-4 hours in the morning, then they work out, then they go back in, get a few more hours in the afternoon. That's their routine. It's not like anything special. It's what they do. I mean, they're grinding at it and spending the time, looking at the film, breaking down the opponent. he is making progress. He made some terrific throws in that last ball game. If we make one more there at the end, we're celebrating what was a great comeback drive right there. And look, when you're an inch away, when you're a finger away, you know, and you don't quite pull it down and you don't quite make that play, then you're going to continue to hear these kind of things. But he's that close, and we're that close. And so, you know, I all I can tell you is that he's got a promising future. I mean, he's a big, talented guy that's smart, that cares, that has a big arm, that can run. I think he's got a bright future.
Appreciate the phone call, Eric. 355-NFL-1, 800-355-6351. Let's grab Russ, who joins us from the West Side next. Russ, welcome to the show. Hello, Russ. 3-2-1.
We missed Russ.
Russ is out of here.
Russ wanted to talk about Dillard.
Jared Dillard.
I'm assuming
Jared
Dillard.
Who just continues to make catches for you.
Yeah, Jared, it's so good to have him back. Remember, Jared overcame, you know, injuries.
His first 2 years, yeah.
So, you know, to get him back, a little bit like Mincy, right? You know, kind of a couple years, you know, kind of, you know, behind the scenes and then breaks out and – he's doing a nice job for us, so I'm not sure what in particular Russ had on his mind. Russ, if you're out there, call back and ask the question, but definitely like what Jared is bringing to the
table.
You
said last week that he had earned more playing time, and did he come through with your expectations on Sunday?
Well, he got more snaps. We didn't target him enough. We targeted him three times and connected with him all three times, so... You know, when we're looking his way, we're connecting with him at a high percentage. So, you know, you may need to look at him a little bit more.
355-NFL-1. You know, that's something to bring up, that the relationship that develops between a quarterback and a receiver develops over time. Mm-hmm. And I remember when we were in Indy a couple of weeks ago, they were talking with Reggie Wayne about how when he got there, Peyton Manning and Marvin Harrison were the thing, and it took him a couple of years to develop that relationship. So, here's Dillard now starting to make his climb, but probably a lot of the work of developing that timing and relationship is next offseason and into training camp next year and on the field next year.
Yeah, no, that's part of it. And, you know, people don't like to hear that. You don't even really like to say it, yeah, because it sounds like you're trying to say, hey, well, bottom line is that is true. It will get better over time. And so, you know, That's why, you know, veteran players, especially at the quarterback position, tend to play better because there's a certain amount of seasoning and experience that you need to gain before you can really, you know, play at the elite level.
Well,
this week,
watch Aaron Rodgers and watch the way that he throws the ball. He throws it right where the guys, whether he can see him or not, he throws it to the spot where he knows they're supposed to be, and they're there.
Well, there are three quarterbacks right now that are just shredding the league.
Yeah.
I mean, Rodgers, Brees, and Brady. Those three guys, I mean, they're just lighting it up.
355-NFL-1, 800-355-6351. Let's grab Roy from the West Side next. Roy, welcome to the show.
How y'all doing tonight?
Good. What's going on? What are you thankful for?
I am so thankful for my family, but I'm also very thankful that my wife is a bigger football fan than I am.
Bless her.
All right, Roy.
She goes out with her lady friends sometimes on Sunday, and she makes her lady friends turn the game on the radio so she can hear it.
You married up, my friend. You married up.
I did. I married up. I think we all do. Hey, listen, on that next to the last play of the game where the pass was dropped in the end zone, I thought it could have been a pass interference call, but I started thinking about it. Even if it had been, it wouldn't have benefited us all. So what would keep a defense from making a pass interference call on purpose when there's that few seconds left in the game, the opponent has no timeouts left, and if they get first down on the 1 yard line, it's not going to help them at all?
Well, you get a yard closer, that'd be it. You know, you get first down a yard closer, and that's all it would have been. But you're right; it wasn't a huge difference in the ball game. It was one of those bang bang plays that I think sometimes, you know, they kind of swallow the whistle at the end of the game and let you play. And you certainly don't want ticky tack things called in those situations. So, you know, I didn't have any big complaint about it. I just saw that he was a little bit early. He was, and you know, end up being a good play by them.
Appreciate the phone call. Let's go to John in Brooklyn, New York, up next on the Jack Del Rio Show before our next break. Hello, John.
How you guys doing tonight?
Good.
Hi, Coach.
Hey, Josh. What's on your mind tonight?
I just have a question. So that's about Blaine Gabbert also. I like what I'm seeing so far from him, but there's some little things that have me a little worried. It seems like he shies away from contact a little bit. I'll give you an example. At the end of the first half, there was a pass thrown to Mercedes Lewis. towards the 20-yard line. He threw it low, and it was incomplete. It didn't look like he stepped into the throw. It looked like he fell backwards trying to make that pass. Is that something you could teach? Or, I mean, you can't teach confidence, can you?
Well, that is something you can teach, and I know what you're referring to. And footwork and following through and getting through throws is definitely something that's going to improve and going to need to improve for him to go to another level as a player. And there are times, I can tell you, where every quarterback in the league is going to step away from a big hit and try and get the ball out, so either sidearm or stepping away or falling by. There just are times you've got to protect yourself and get out of the way.
Right.
I do believe that is something that we will continue to work on. You know, we've been working very hard on finding that check down more consistently. He's made some of the nice throws down the field really pretty well this year. Had a few in this past game, really outstanding throws down the field. But what you started to see in this game here was he was finding that check down. He was getting through his progression and getting to that check down on time and allowing that guy to take off and run with it. And that's a good sign for us.
Appreciate the phone call, John. We take a break. More to come with the head coach on the Jack Del Rio Show here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show here on the Jaguars Radio Network. I'm Brian Sexton along with the head coach. Remember, when you call us, what you're thankful for, and then your thought. Coach, we were just talking about that final play of the game. And my thought to you was, having watched the tape on All Access last night with Jeff Loggeman, that maybe the throw might have been to get to, and of course we're second-guessing, which is what this is about.
Well, hindsight.
Yeah, all right, it's easy now, right. Out to Maurice in the flat, where he had a
great thing. It's a great thing about looking back, especially when you're not, especially when you're not the coach.
The quarterback standing there in the heat.
But let's look back. Go ahead.
Okay, so you know, you see him out in the flat, and some people were saying, "Well, why would you throw to Mercedes?" And they don't see that he's double covered.
Right.
Just that play, there were some breakdowns.
Well, it wasn't a breakdown. It was the play that we had called up. We got Mike Thomas one on one with the linebacker, and that's what we anticipated, and we just have to define the route there for the quarterback to make the throw. And, you know, basically Mike had the option of pivoting away or continuing past the linebacker into the open hole. And he ended up in between. And so ended up being a difficult spot to get the ball into. And that little thing, you know, we've repped that play over and over and over and over and over. The linebacker played a little more aggressively, as you might think, the last play of the game. And we didn't execute. Didn't get it done. And that's the difference. So you can go back after you don't execute a play, and you can go back and say, well, why didn't we hand it to Maurice? Why didn't we do this? Why didn't we do that? And if you did any of those things, you would have to execute the play.
Sure.
It'd be like, you know, calling a run to Maurice but not blocking 71.
Right.
You know, he makes a tackle. Well, why didn't you block him? Exactly. Right. You got to execute whatever play you call.
Right. 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. Russ rejoins us from the west side with his question on Jarrett Dillard. Hello, Russ.
Hello, guys.
Hey, Russ.
How you guys doing today?
We got you back, huh?
Yeah, I got disconnected somehow. I apologize for
that.
No
worries. First of all, what are you thankful for?
I'm thankful for my family being healthy and the wonderful men and women of the military.
Amen.
All right. Good one.
Now your thought on Dillard.
About Dillard, I just love the connection him and Gabbert seem to have. I was, you know, you kind of touched on it a little bit about he needed more reps. I was wondering if you're going to implement him a lot more. I like his style. I like the way he's using his hands to catch the ball and just do stuff with it.
Yeah, you know, we all like, I think, fans, coaches, players, teammates, I think we all like when guys produce. And Jared's been productive. He's done a nice job of being a guy that has fought his way open. And when the ball's been thrown his way, he's been a reliable target. I think, you know, we all appreciate that. So he's doing a good job. He's ultra competitive. He's done a great job. We were talking, I don't know if you got to hear it or not, but he's, you know, battled back from injuries the last couple of years, and he's healthy again, and he's playing good football for us. So, you know, it's nice to have somebody, you know, begin to emerge there that we can continue to look to and utilize. And Mercedes played big this week.
I was just about to go there. 7 catches, a career high. But it'd been all season. You know, where's Mercedes? Where's Mercedes? Where's Mercedes? I didn't even notice it was a career high. I just saw 7 catches.
He played well. Had some nice catches, and so, you know, as he plays well, as Diller plays well, as some guys step up and start playing well, then you'll notice that the quarterback will be playing well, the offense will be scoring points, and good things will be happening.
There's a direct correlation. The quarterback has a pretty good day, and Mercedes has 7 catches. Hard to argue with that.
Right.
355 NFL 1. Now we go to Josh in Arlington. Welcome to the show, Josh.
Hey, Coach. Hey, Brian. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Hey, Josh.
Good. I'm thankful, you know, for having a great family, great friends, living in the city of Jacksonville, and having a Jaguars.
There you go. You covered the bases.
Now, I sit in Section 131. Some people call that the visitor's side. I call the whole stadium our hometown, right?
Correct.
I'm always battling it out with, you know, Baltimore fans, Texans fans, everyone.
I know one thing. Our fans always step up whenever a team is coming in here. You know, Pittsburgh several years back, Baltimore tried to come in here on Monday night, and whenever other teams are coming in strong, our fans respond.
They do.
So, what's on your mind tonight?
I couldn't even talk after the Saints came into town, and that Baltimore game was amazing. My question is, it looks like the Texans are kind of trying to run the show on our division here. What can we do to, you know, open up, you know, a little bit of, you know, penetrate their armor a little bit, expose some weaknesses so maybe they can get a loss this week when they play us, a few losses down the road, maybe put us back in the hunt for the AFC South?
Okay, well, I can tell you, Josh, I'm not sure what the prospects are of that actually occurring. I think it's us win them all, them lose them all, maybe something like that. I mean, it's not a great situation that we find ourselves in. But it's a divisional game, a team that we look forward to playing, a team that's playing very well. Their defense is number one in the league and playing very aggressively. Their offense is running the ball, like Brian was saying earlier, a lot like we did back when we had Fred and Maurice running. They've got two good backs. What we've got to do is take them out of their comfort zone, you know, and part of what they want to do is pound those two backs at us and play defense and not let Maurice get going. And so we've got to do some things to make sure we take advantage of their aggressive posture and be prepared for a hard-hitting affair. I think it's going to be a heck of a football game. We look forward to it.
Josh, we appreciate the call. We take our next break and return with more with the head coach, Jack Del Rio, on the Jaguars Radio Network. The Christmas season starts this week, day after Thanksgiving, and when you're out shopping, look for a department store style at discount prices. Look no further than your neighborhood Stein Mart. 6 Jacksonville locations. Stein Mart, more fashion, less price. We continue. Plenty of questions for the head coach this evening. You could join us. 355-NFL-1, 800-355-6351. I've got a question at Twitter, and you can join us via Twitter as well, at Jags Voice, and I will pass it along to the coach. And here's the thought, Coach. It came earlier today. Jags fan 1132 wanted to know if you might see Cameron Bradfield at right tackle anytime soon. Wimper obviously has been battling some injuries, and just wondered if Bradfield might have earned a chance to see some time at right tackle.
Well, he is the next tackle in.
Sure.
You know, if we had any injury at right or left tackle, he'd be the next guy in. So he's played when he's been called on. He played pretty well up in Pittsburgh. He's next up.
At Jags Voice, if you've got a Twitter thought you'd like to pass along as well, we'll make sure the coach gets it. Let's grab Jim, who joins us from Fruit Cove. Hello, Jim. Welcome to the program.
Yeah, good evening. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Hey, yeah, I'm thankful for my family, obviously, and living in Jacksonville, an NFL town, and having a owner, the Weaver family, who has just done so much for this community, and I am so thankful for them, and I wish them well and long health.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right, Jim. Appreciate it. What's on your mind tonight?
Well, listen, I wanted to talk to Coach. I think the coach has done a great job putting together a stellar defense. We've had a few bumps here and there, but overall, I think it's just a market turnaround as far as the defense. And with that said, if you could say, you know, I mean, not mention any names, but just, you know, the different areas on the offense, receivers, backs, you know, what do you think that we're going to need to do to turn? And I'm sure you're disappointed in the offense. You know, it's not as, you know, it hasn't had the success the defense had. What do you think we're going to have to do to improve in each of those areas?
I'll take it off the line. Okay, appreciate it. I think the obvious need that we have going forward is a dominant wide receiver. I mean, we've got some good players out there, a collection of good players. We can use a guy that dictates coverage, you know, that
Andre Johnson,
that you're afraid to play man-to-man all game long. You know, that's the one thing that we haven't had since Jimmy Smith retired. I mean, that one guy that dictates coverage. You know, I think the other thing that we could really use is Rashad Jennings healthy. We miss his explosiveness. He's a good football player, you know, and us losing him early was a blow. I know it, we appreciated how good he was, but I think not having him in that void there, that's a good football player. So I think those two things add a tremendous element to your offense. So I would say starting there and then just developing some of the young players we have.
Your offensive line played pretty darn well in Cleveland, didn't it?
Yes.
You look at that offensive line, and that's been a story under the radar. We focus on quarterbacks so much this year. Once Eugene got healthy, the conversation kind of went away.
Yeah.
But boy, Rackley, Monroe, they both played pretty well last week.
Eugene's had a good year. Uche's had a good year. Those guys are playing well. Brad's played well. Will's growing up.
Yeah.
I mean, Will's a young guy that's getting a lot of time. So Wimper's had a nice year. So, you know, the offensive line. And, you know, hopefully we get Eben back strong going forward. So, you know, those things are all future things.
By the way, we have got to comment on Brad Meester. On Sunday, he will set the franchise record. 172 games in a Jaguars uniform. I remember when he showed up as a guard from Northern Iowa. I mean, they're plugging him in next to Tony Boselli, and on the same line was Zach Wiegert, and Leon Searcy was still there when he first showed up. No one would have thought that Brad Meester, offensive guard, would evolve. What did you see in him when you first got here in 2003, and just maybe a thought of appreciation for the kind of guy that he is?
He's been smart, tough, dependable. Just, you know, good, solid football player, shows up, does the right things every day. I mean, he's just a guy. You know, there are certain guys that you can look to and just know that you're going to get an honest day's work every day. They're reliable, they're accountable, good teammates, you know, smart and tough. I mean, that's what you look for. And so he's been very good for us. And he's playing well this year, doing a nice job and continuing to play at a high level. And that allows him to continue to build on that streak.
How about as a retired player, 172 games? That's a long time to play for, especially at that position in the middle of the line where you're getting banged from both sides.
Yeah, that's a good number. I mean, I'm not sure. There are some numbers out there that are pretty extraordinary, but that's a pretty good number.
355-NFL-1, we appreciate the phone call. We need a break. Let's take that right now.
You took too long figuring out who we're going to take.
Yeah, well, Joe's right.
We'll be right back.
Yep. Back after this on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show. Brian Sexton along with the head coach. Listen, we got time for one quick call in this segment since we went a little bit over. So let's grab Tommy in Boston. Tommy, welcome to the show.
Hello. I'm thankful for having my family and having this great team of Jacksonville. But I just want to talk about offense and defense. I like what I'm seeing from defense. They're doing well out there. What I would like to see a little more blitzing and interceptions and fumbles, but still they're doing good. And I like what I'm seeing from the offense with going towards Gabbert, because I kind of see where he's going to be the next Kurt Warner. I like what I see from Mercedes Sunday, and I would like to see that more. And I would like to see the Jones Drew that we saw in 2009 just bursting through for touchdowns. But mainly what I wanted to say is that I see where this offense could be West Coast.
Tommy, how long have you been a Jaguars fan?
Since I was like 8.
How long has that been? How old are you?
I'm 17.
All right. Well, you got a long list there, Tommy. But I'm sure, Coach, that you would echo those are some things you'd like to see, too.
Yeah, appreciate your call. You calling from Boston, Tommy?
Yes, sir.
All right. Appreciate you tuning in from way up there in Boston. Yeah, there are some things that that certainly, you know, we'd like to see go even better. But like you said, we are playing good defense. We are running the ball well. The passing game showing signs of life. And we're going to need all of that this weekend playing against a good Houston Texans team. So, you know, stay tuned this week. Hopefully you'll start seeing some of those things you're looking for, and so will I.
All right, we appreciate the phone call. Let's get back on time. You're listening to the Jack Del Rio Show on a Tuesday evening before Thanksgiving, and you're listening on the Jaguars Radio Network. Welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show this Thanksgiving week. Please, when you call, give us what you're thankful for, and then with your thought. And we've got Don, who joins us from Murray Hill. Hello, Don. Welcome to the show. Don, are you with us?
I'm here.
There you go, Don. How are you?
I'm fine. I am thankful for being a retired military. You still there?
Yeah, no, we're listening.
Yeah, I'm thankful for being retired military, and I have proudly served with thousands of military people. I got a question for the coach.
He's listening.
Okay, Don, lay it on me.
Okay. I got two questions. Whatever happened to the two-minute offense, and number two, what about time management, you know?
Okay, good questions. Well, what happened with two-minute offense? You saw one the other day. It was two-minute offense run to perfection, with the exception of making one of those three plays that we had inside the five-yard line that would have resulted in a touchdown, so we could be celebrating Blaine Gabbert in his first come-from-behind victory in the fourth quarter. But I think there were a couple things that went off that would have you ask that kind of question. So I'll refer straight to them. There was one play with about maybe 12 seconds left before the two-minute warning.
Yes.
And we just didn't operate the way we need to. I mean, we practiced that all the time, getting up, being able to get that snap off there. We did not execute that. And so, you know, we went to the two-minute warning. Did it kill us? No. Didn't kill us, but we'd like to get that ball off right there and execute a play right there. So that didn't happen. And then there was a question after we got the first down inside the five. You know, did a nice job, you know, pounding it in there, got the first down, and then we took too long. We were too deliberate getting the next play off. We had the ability to run the ball there, and not because we still had a timeout.
Right.
So we did that. But we were too deliberate in getting lined up, in motioning over, in executing the play. And as a result, by the time we called timeout, we were left with just two shots at the end zone instead of three.
Right.
And that's the one thing that we've just got to do better. And ultimately, that falls on my shoulders. I've got to make sure that gets done well and properly. And that's the kind of thing that we work on ad nauseum. But it didn't come off the way we need to. And so... You know, that's just the way it is. But, you know, excellent job for us playing defense at the end, calling timeouts in a way that preserved the clock. We end up with 2 minutes and 50 – I mean,
53.
Yeah, 2 minutes and 53 seconds left when we got the ball and a timeout. So excellent job of getting the ball back and preserving the clock. So we actually did it very well. Then the offense went all the way down the field. Excellent. We finish – You guys, everybody out there that, no, maybe you're applauding it, you know, right. Probably for Blaine, which would be great. But no, that football team is well prepared, went out there and almost pulled it off and came up a little short.
Appreciate the phone call, Don. 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. How about a thought before we take our final break on the Texans defense, Coach? Much like what you've done, they brought in Wade Phillips and supplemented the talent that they had there.
That's right.
They've made really big strides. I didn't know that they would, you know, making that first year move to the 3-4 from the 4-3. I thought maybe it might take a little longer. Why have they been able to be so successful? Has there been a key to it?
Well, let's talk about some of the keys. I think when you look at it, you've got to start with, you know, Brian Cushing and D'Amico Ryans and Antonio Smith and you know, some of the guys like that that have been there. All right.
And Cushing's playing well inside.
Yeah, and then but what you do is then you supplement those kind of guys, and all of a sudden you bring in a Brooks Reed, you sign a Jonathan Joseph at corner, you brought in J.J. Watt, and you add them to what you've had. And so all of a sudden you've added some good players, you brought in a good coach, and then you got off to a good start and you're playing with confidence, and that's what it comes down to.
And with that kind of a running game, it helps the defense be good.
Yeah, I mean they've done it the way we've done it. You know, you mix good players with good coaching, you can have a good defense, and that's what they've got going right now.
All right, we need to take our final break. We'll come back and wrap up the Thanksgiving edition of the Jack Del Rio Show after this on Jaguars Radio. Folks, a week from tomorrow, November 30th, the Auto Spot Tire Pros at 9718 Touchdown Road, that's 9718 Touchdown Road, invite you to join them for Cookies with the Jaguars rookies from noon till 2. They'll be signing autographs, sharing cookies, and giving you a chance to win an autographed football and club seats to the Jags Monday night game against the Chargers. And then this, because it is so important. Sunday, as you know, is Military Appreciation Day. Jaguars on the road during Veterans Day weekend, and so they have pushed back their Military Appreciation Day to Sunday, and you can help our military stay connected this holiday season when you bring a gently used cell phone to the game on Sunday. When you do that, you'll provide a member of our overseas military with a 60-minute phone card. Imagine being away from your family at Christmas. Now, a member of the military will have an opportunity to spend 60 quality minutes with their family when you bring that gently used phone to the stadium. All right, Sunday, 1 o'clock kickoff, Jaguars and Texans. For those of you listening in Jacksonville, the Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue Tailgate Show gets started at 10 o'clock in the morning. At noontime, the Suddeth Pregame Show picks up the entire network. And then there's whistle-to-whistle coverage starting at 1 o'clock as the Jaguars take on the Texans. Halftime, you know it's Marco and Cole with the Aetna Halftime Show. Then we follow with the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show and the Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show. A lot for the Jaguars to play for. Guys are playing for their jobs, obviously. That's always a factor when you've got a team that's just barely on the cusp of playoffs. And I mean, let's be honest. The Jaguars have to win the division, which means they have to win out. The Texans have to lose out. It is not a likely scenario. So what you've got is a lot of guys who are playing for pride and a lot of guys who are playing for their jobs. And what I would really like to see, because I really believe this, is this team surge at the end. You know, over the last couple of years, we've seen this team drop at the end. Drop three games last year. Drop three games the year before. This year, let's see them surge at the end and beat the Falcons, beat the Titans, beat the Colts, end the season on an up note with a young team. Young quarterback, lots of young talent, guys just reaching their prime. Let's see them finish strong this year, and perhaps they can start that with a home win over the Texans on Sunday. Thankful for so many things, in particular the guy to my right, the guy that you all talk to every time you call this show, and, well, we wouldn't get anywhere if we didn't have Joe Fortunato, who is the, well, I was going to say brains, but... I wouldn't go that far. Joe Fortunato, thank you very much. Hope you enjoy the Thanksgiving holiday with lovely Linda.
I will. You do the same.
You got it. Have a great night, everybody.
Not with Linda, I mean.
No.
Or you can. Come on over.
All right.
All right.
I'll bring the sweet potatoes.
This has been the Jack Del Rio Show. Join us again next Tuesday night at 6 for your chance to talk to the head coach. The Jack Del Rio Show is a presentation of the Jacksonville Jaguars Radio Network.